As I think by now you're fairly aware, sermon titles are important. And the only trouble is that trying to get these things done in time for people to go to the website and look at the hymns that are coming up and the readings if they wish, sometimes end up with a sermon title that isn't exactly right, but it's up there. And so the one this week, this small but mighty, unfortunately, it's not exactly what I was trying to get at. And probably what would be better would be small but mighty, more's the pity. And as I'm sure you know where we're going with this, we're going to be looking at our James passage today, and we're going to be talking about the tongue. We're not so much going to be talking about teachers, although that's what it starts out with, and not many of you should presume to be teachers. Well, one of my brothers is a teacher, and he frequently says the same thing. Why would you want to do this? I think he teaches grade 5 these days, so he's going to have a bit more of a challenge than some. But of course, the issue isn't that being a teacher in and of itself, there's something wrong with it, and you have to worry about that. It's rather that when you set yourself up to be a teacher, to give direction, you then increase, if you will, the responsibility that you have. And it's no longer just a matter of a bad thought leading yourself astray. You might lead a whole class or whatever it is you teach. And that's what James is on. And he's coming at it from the perspective that it is so difficult for us to say what we should say. I find it fascinating that in verse 2, towards the end of verse 2, it says, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect. And then later on says that nobody can do this, which has always been, James chapter 3 has always been my answer to perfectionism. That yes, we should strive to achieve it, but according to James, we just never will. And I think there's nothing wrong with striving for something you can't reach necessarily. It makes you a better person, gives you something to do every morning, you know you'll never be done. And when it comes to this whole business of the tongue, I think he's really on to something. And it's important for us to remember the incredible power of our words. And James talks about how small things can cause great difficulties. Like a single spark, a small flame can start a fire that can burn entirely out of control. The fire in by Peachland in BC, I think, was started something in a ditch that I don't know how it started, but that's all it took. And our tongues, what we say, our words, and even more broadly, our communication can be that powerful as well. And it's occasionally tempting when we look at James and he's talking about the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of our body, to say, well, in that case, I'm not going to communicate at all. I'm just not going to take a chance on it. Except that's impossible. As soon as you exist, you're in community of one sort or another, whether it's close and intimate or just broadly dispersed, and you communicate all the time. It's one of the things that we learn as we get older, that we communicate without saying a word. And it might be small-minded of people to make judgments on the basis of what we choose to wear or how we look or how whatever else it might be. But we need to pay attention to the fact that that's part of our communication. And what we say, whether it's in words or actions, have tremendous power. And the good news is that there's a tremendous opportunity all the time to improve the lives of people around you, whether you know them well or not. One of the things that Heather and I have been trying to do, and we don't do it all the time, but we're trying to do, is when we're interacting with people who are providing service for us, a clerk at a store, whatever it might be, is to take that extra 5 or 6 seconds, because that's all it takes, is to try and make eye contact and smile. And it's possible to have to inject into the interaction something that lets both of us know that we're both human. And I'm not a consuming unit, and they're not a change-producing unit. We're people. And I certainly am not going to presume to suggest that we're making people's lives immeasurably better, but I know for certain we're not making them worse. And you don't see it as dramatically all the time, but every once in a while you'll be waiting in line and the person who's taking care of customers or whatever, you can see they're just having a not great day. You know, they're just looking kind of down. And if you take that moment, and it's only a moment, I mean, I'm not talking about having a long conversation getting them in trouble, you know, just this brief moment to pay careful attention to the humanity that they have. Every once in a while when you leave, you look back and you see that they're standing up a little bit straighter. They're a little more alert. And all it took was smiling and saying, "Thank you very much. I appreciate what you do." One of the things I've started doing if I'm required to go to a store on a statutory holiday or something is saying, "You know, I'm sorry to make you work today, but I'm glad you do." Well, it's a small thing. And I'm not holding myself up as any kind of a paragon necessarily. But this came to me when I began to realize how incredibly powerful what we do and say can be. And part of it, as I suspect for most of us, certainly for me, I can think back to moments where someone's just look just took all the wind out of my sails. And often, and this comes back to James saying, not many of you should presume to be teachers, because it often came from teachers. One of the problems of being a teacher, especially in a classroom situation, is that you need to correct what's wrong. That's one of the reasons why you're there, is to provide new knowledge, interact with the students, and then when it's incorrect, to correct it and then move on. But there's lots of different ways to do that. And I've had teachers who, whether it was intentional or not, their body language, sometimes what they actually said, was belittling. And I can still remember all these decades later that this sort of sunken feeling. And I'm certain they didn't mean it. I know I would be beyond shocked to find somebody went into teaching to ruin the lives of young people. That's not why people do it. It's just having a bad day, I misunderstood, whatever it might be. It's just a challenge. And so when I think of this, it reminds me of how mighty the smallest of actions can be. And it reminds me that we have a responsibility as people of faith to do what we can to build people up. Because that's the flip side of what's happening in James, where he's talking about all of these things that the tongue can do. It's little, but it can make great boasts. And, oh, I know all about that. Talk to anybody who fishes. It's virtually impossible for some people who fish actually, and they're not bad people, they're not going to take advantage of you in a business deal, but it's impossible, it seems, for them to tell you exactly how many fish they actually caught and what size they actually were. It's just one of those things. And it's sort of amusing and all the rest of it, but it just reminds us of how easy it is for us to move into this boasting part, to make ourselves look a little bit better. Well, James says we don't have to do that. And when we look through the whole book of James, we see how concerned James is, not just to tell us what's wrong, what might go wrong, but about how we can reach out to people by not showing favoritism, as we read last week, and all of these other things. And that's why I wish I would have used a different word in the sermon title than unfortunately. Because it's not really unfortunate that our words, our glances, can have such a tremendous impact. What's unfortunate is when we're not aware of that. And once again, as I mentioned frequently, that this doesn't come to me from some sense that you are all unaware, or any of you are unaware, but just as a reminder of how incredibly powerful a glance can be. The difference between a warm handshake and just a perfunctory one. The difference between taking a moment to actually talk to somebody rather than just walk by. James wants us to know that everything that we do and say has the potential to have a tremendous impact on the people around us. Now, this shouldn't squash us, as I said, into the fear that what we do might be misinterpreted, so we better not say anything at all. Because, first of all, that's impossible, and, well, second of all, it's still impossible. So So you may as well just pay attention to this and try and do what we can. It's one of those things that when we look at verse 9 in our James reading, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse each other who've been made in God's likeness. It reminds us of that, the double nature within us, the fact that we live in a fallen world. But we take hope from the fact that James did not say, with the tongue all we do is curse people. What he's saying is that with the tongue we do both. And we need to pay attention to how easy it is for us to fall into that sense that it's okay for me to say whatever I feel like. That if I'm having a bad day at home, it's okay for me to spread that bad day at work, and vice versa. And no, it's not. The fact that our tongue can curse our fellow human beings as well as praise God is just James pointing out the realities and helping us get to a place where we can acknowledge this, that for all of us this is a struggle. For some more than others. There are some people that we've all known who you can't imagine them saying an unkind thing. And then there are some people that we know who seem to really struggle to ever say a kind thing at all. And it's because that's just what we are. We're human beings. We have a relationship with God through Jesus that will one day be perfected. But until it is, James reminds us that you need to pay attention to this. You need to treat your words as seriously as you would treat just throwing a match in a dry field. Because your words can be just as destructive. I follow a number of people on Twitter. There's some blogs I follow, just like all of us. We used to do with newspapers and draft television news. Now we find these things in other ways. And one of the most interesting groups I follow is a group called To Write Love on Her Arms. And it's a group that was formed to help particularly women, but women and men, to step away from self-harm, cutting, and that sort of thing, as well as to prevent suicide. And they do wonderful work. You read what they do, and you read the people who work there, and they're these deeply compassionate people, frequently flawed, as they admit themselves, with some of the mistakes they've made. But the thing that I find so challenging, fascinating, occasionally depressing, is the number of people who have come out of that lifestyle, and they'll talk about the thing that started them in that direction. And often it was a single interaction with someone, a parent, a teacher, a relative of some sort, who said something that destroyed their sense of worth. And maybe they intended it, most of the time they didn't. And it started this spiral for this person that took them to a very dark place that they needed the help of others to get out of. And I'm tremendously grateful for all these organizations that do this, whether they're faith-based or not. I figure any time you keep somebody alive is a good thing. But it sometimes started from almost nothing. Because our words have the potential to be life-changing to the people around us. Let's try and choose life-changing, to give more life, not less. To remember that what for us is a casual interaction may be a significant moment for someone else. As I think I've mentioned before, one of the things that happened fairly frequently when I was still teaching and still an administrator was meeting former students a year or two after they'd graduated, be it the church where they were working or wherever they might be. And often they'd say, do you remember that time you said that thing? And I'll say, no, sorry, I don't remember at all. And they'll say, that was exactly what I needed. That brief, almost throwaway remark that you made was life-changing for me. And I think because of that, it's helped me realize that many of these things that I was just chatting, I have no recollection of the interaction. I mean, I remember them, and I remember that we spoke often or infrequently, whatever it might have been. But for them, it was everything. That's That's the power that we have. It's the power that we can choose to use for good. It doesn't mean we'll get it right all the time. We can't get it right all the time. I don't know exactly even what my wife and children need to hear from me all the time, and I know them really well. People we know less well, we do the best we can. There's nothing wrong with asking the Holy Spirit to give us that sense of discernment, to know when to speak and when not, and what to say and what not. Because we can make a profound difference in the lives of the people around us, whether they're as close as a spouse or children, or as casual as someone who sells you some milk or whatever it might be at a convenience store. Let's just take it as seriously as we need to. Take a moment now and then to think back to those people who spoke life into our lives and had those moments where their statements about us or about what our potential might be or whatever it was that encouraged us and made us feel bigger and better. And let's try and be the people who do that. James says we shouldn't presume to be teachers, but we all are. Some of us teach in front of a large group. Some of us teach by simply the way we carry ourselves. What are we going to teach? That people are of infinite value, or that they're an irritation? The people around us, even the ones that we find irritating, are of infinite value. If Christ was willing to come to earth to die for them, the least we can do is speak life into them, is to take the moment that it takes to be encouraging rather than discouraging, to notice rather than being just unconscious of them. The tongue is small but mighty, and it's actually not unfortunate. It's just how we use it that makes the difference. Amen.